Have you ever been really blessed in your heart and soul, and you just you want to get it out and you want to tell somebody, and it just doesn't seem to come? You ever done that? Or after you said it, you don't know if I got it across. You know, that is what I go through every time I stand up here, and it's just one of those things that I deal with. I'm excited about this one tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. Actually, I've been excited about all of these. We've gone through these. And such riches that are sitting here within God's Word. Just thank the Lord for that. I'm going to read this section again, starting in verse number 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." I just lost all my stuff. You're not supposed to hold your thing yet. That wasn't armor. Thank the Lord for that. "Wherefore, taking the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening again for your precious word, And we thank you for these words in this section and all the meaning, all that we have here. Lord, you have shown us here that we can be armed and defeat the enemy. Lord, how thankful we are for that. So often in life, we go about defeated and we go about just down in the dumps and all these things. And yet, Lord, that's not the way you have so designed it for us, and your desire is for us to win the battles and to go forward and to see you work and to move. We ask you might bless tonight and work in our hearts in this. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Notice with me again, verse number 16. Verse 16, and it says here, "Above all," that's interesting, "taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench," what's that next word? What's that mean? All means what? All. All means all. All the fiery darts of the wicked. Do you believe God's word? Do you believe that? Do you believe it to the point of practice? That is a good question for us tonight. I trust that we get to that point, if we're not, and that we can see how God wants to work and to bless. When we observe the armor, we must recognize the six pieces that are here described. Six, by the way, is the number of man, as we find in the book of Revelation. But there is another piece that is of particular note. And the seventh piece, and by the way, seven is sometimes described as the number of God, because seven is a number of completeness, is it not? Because God, what, created the earth and rested? And it took, what, 7 days. And everything was finished. Everything was good. And so we see that in Scripture. And so what do we find here is the seventh. Well, we've been reading it every week. And he says in verse number 18, praying with all prayer and supplication. And so I look at this, and I see seven pieces of armor. Six are on the outside. One of them, as depicted here, is on the inside. But one of these, we find is said to be above all. Above all. And what is it? It's the shield of faith. It stands in the very middle of these seven pieces. It's kind of like David when he was anointed king, and he stood in the midst, the Bible says, of his brethren. And so here is this right in the middle, and yet as it's in the middle, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Wow. Interesting as we look here. The words fall really into two very general parts. First of all, there's the exhortation. What's he say? He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. There's the exhortation. Taking the shield of faith. And then the second one is an argument for this exhortation. What's the argument? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So one's the exhortation. We could call the other the promise if we wanted to. And God has this for you and for me. I'd like for us tonight, as we begin our thoughts here, to examine the kind of faith that he's referring to here. And maybe you've never thought about this, but I'm going to describe the first one as an historical faith. It's something that many people have had down through the years. And interesting, as we look at the historical faith, it is something that I would say to you tonight that even Satan himself has. Listen to these words in James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one Lord, thou doest well. The devils also what? Believe and tremble. Okay? There's a belief by the devils. They understand some things. They understand, maybe we could say, some spiritual things. They know there is a God. Okay? And many people have that kind of historical belief. You know, sometimes you can talk to a person about being saved. Oh, I believe in God. That doesn't mean they're saved. Not at all. We must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did upon the cross of Calvary. That is saving faith. And we'll get to that in just a moment. There's another kind of faith that I might mention tonight. And let's put this in the realm of the spiritual. And let's think about it like this, a miraculous faith. There are folks who believe in miracles. They believe that God can do unordinary things. You tell them about the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would say, yes, I believe that He can do those. We go back to the Egyptians, and when Moses came to Pharaoh and first said, let my people go, and we find that Moses, what did he do? He threw his rod down on the ground, and it became a serpent, but the magicians did the same thing, didn't they? If you had a rod and you threw it on the ground and became a snake, you would be thinking some things are pretty fantastic, wouldn't you? Have you ever done that, Tom? You ever thrown a stick down and became a snake? I picked up a stick and found a snake under it, but I've never have done the other. And by the way, did you ever think about this? Moses, God said to Moses, when you throw it down, and I want you to pick it up and grab it by the tail. Is that the best place to grab a snake? Not necessarily. They can turn around and bite you. But we find that there's the belief in the miraculous. There's a lot of folks who believe in angels. They believe in all sorts of things that are out there in what we might call the spiritual world. But there is a justifying faith. And when I talk about the justifying faith, I mean that which is of the head and the heart. We not only believe there is a God, but we believe that He can what? Do things because of what He says. It's a heartfelt thing, and we are so willing in the heart that it has effect upon what we do. Okay? A justifying faith. This believes the truth, and we commit to it. And this is what the Ethiopian possessed. Think about this in the book of Acts. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The Ethiopian said, did he want to get baptized? And he says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we find that they both went down to the water and he baptized him. Judas, by the way, was short of that. John 6:64 says, "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him." By the way, that's Judas. And yet we find Judas may have been casting out demons because he told him to do that. And involved in some miraculous stuff. And yet he was what? Overcome by the devil himself. By the way, this justifying faith is that which is of the heart. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 speak of it very much. "That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now this faith has an emphasis, and that emphasis, or object perhaps I should say, is the crucified Christ. We're not just believing to believe. We're believing in someone. We're believing in what He did for us upon the cross of Calvary. Well, let's stop and think about the shield for a minute. Why does God compare this to the shield? Why does God call this the shield of faith? What is there significant about that? And perhaps we could come up with a number of things, but let me just give you a couple of things. A shield, as we find here, is not particular to a select portion of the body. We have the helmet that goes where? On the head. We have the feet that are to be shod. We have the breastplate that goes over the chest area. But here we find the shield, and it's not designated for any place. Now, we know that one has to hold it with a hand, but yet we know that it's something that is what? Portable. It's out there to be used for all of the body. So it's particular to a select portion. It is movable and can be placed wherever most needed. And brothers, we need that shield so often. The Bible says in Psalm 5:12, interesting verse, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield." The shield we're talking about at this time was large, and the entire body could be poised behind it. In the book of Romans 4:19 says, And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb." What's he talking about? He's talking about Abraham when he is at a spot where he's weak, and yet he's not weak because he has this position behind the shield of faith and believing God as he goes forward. That shield receives the shock that comes when the arrows are shot. Faith is that which takes that and saves the creature and keeps it from having harm upon him. In Psalm 27, as David wrote that, he said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And God's goodness and God being there and God blessing through that time. God is the one, through that faith, that protects you and me. This shield was probably the most prized, from what I understand, of the soldiers of Rome. It was that which they longed for the most. Matter of fact, the women would say, "Come back with your shield or come back being carried upon it." And it was that which was considered very valuable in their armor. Unlike the other armor parts, the shield alone was attributed with victory. We don't find where if we got on the helmet of salvation, we're going to have victory. We don't see if we have on the on our feet being shod that we're going to have the victory. But it's this one here, the shield of faith, that he says will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not some, but all. So we come upon a piece of armor that is very, very, very important. And it is the armor here that we call faith. It's said here to be above all. Above all. Now that could mean a number of things. One, it could mean in everything we do, faith needs to be foremost. That makes sense, doesn't it? But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's faith that pleases God. But also we find that faith, being above all, is in a position that could be set above all the other armor. And has that position above all the others. It could mean that it's above all others in position as far as meeting with the enemy. One is important over them, but the other is, that is out there first. And if we were laying on the back and had the armor up, we'd say it's above all. But above all in the fact that it's in front and it's foremost as we're going into battle. And here is that which you and I so desperately need. I look at those different thoughts, and really a combination of these, I believe, is where we can just sit down at and just be blessed by the fact that this is above all else. And so what's the exhortation? The exhortation is that you and I might take this. Take this shield of faith. We might take it. We might take that which is ours. It's available to us. Let's consider tonight. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, said, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity." And then he said these words, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Do we have a contradiction here? I don't believe so at all. In heaven and for all of eternity, this rings very true. But for the battle that is there for us, it is faith that is needed. We go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Amen? So it's the shield of faith. As you and I believe God, put our trust in Him. The last few words as I watched that video this evening, or it was not too long ago anyway, I was kind of overcome by what Ronald Reagan said. And he said, and I can't quote it exactly, but he said, "This Bible, it needs to be read and believed." That was the President of the United States from 1980 to 1988. "This Bible needs to be read and believed." And basically what he was saying was, that will take us through anything. Glory, hallelujah. We must have this thing of faith. It's prized by Christ. When the Lord Jesus comes back, the Bible says, "When He cometh, shall He find faith on the earth." Doesn't mention love. He's talking about faith. It is that which what gets us through from day to day. It is extolled as above all other graces. Think about this. Hebrews chapter 11 says what? By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. That was how things were accomplished. That's how they went forward. That's how they progressed. It was by faith. And that is the need that is in your life and in mine. The preeminence of faith among all the other graces is shown here for you and for me. It is our faith, not our love, that justifies us. Love doesn't justify us. It is our faith. By the way, love grows out of faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are justified by faith, the love of God comes within us and builds and becomes a wondrous thing. But it's our faith that is the initiator of those things. And think about this faith, this shield. It's held by the hand. What do we do with the hand? Well, we can work with the hand, but there's something else the hand does. What else does the hand do? Let's see what I got in here. Better be careful. You need money for the trip? This won't help much. You want that? What do you have to do? the hand receives. You want to do this illustration? You're too late. What's it do? It receives. Amen? And so the hand that receives that faith, you and I, then can what? Quench all the fiery darts of the devil. It is that faith that you and I have that exalts God. When you and I believe Him and let Him do what He can do, that brings glory to His name. The Bible says, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. When we put our faith where? In Christ. And that brings exaltation to Him. The preeminence of faith among all the graces. But see if we can understand this a little farther as we think about the preeminence of unbelief among all sins. There are some heinous crimes that you and I can commit. There are awful things that you and I can be a part of. But what separates us and makes us distant to God? Think about this and what it says in Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you a heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Wow. It is our unbelief that renders the Word of God ineffective. And the Word of God is that which what proclaims the greatness and the goodness of God. Listen to what the author wrote to Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The Word of God is quick and powerful, but it has no value to the person who will not believe it. It renders it useless and powerless in their life. Unbelief does that. And it becomes the sin of damnation. You know John 3:18. He that what believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what, brethren? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How important is faith? Well, it's that which he says above all, taking the faith, shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. You and I have that privilege. But without faith, we find ourselves in a horrible position. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19 says, so we see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Referring to the children of Israel. Referring to those who had been saved out of Egypt. They'd crossed over the Red Sea. But they did not enter into the promised land. Because at Kadesh Barnea, they believed the 10 spies rather than God. Unbelief kept them from going in. And we find that preeminence of faith among all graces, but we find also the preeminence of unbelief among all sins. Is that which damns us? Is that which keeps us from accomplishing and going forward for the Lord? I look like the Father said when Jesus talked to him about his son. And the Father said, well, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And the daddy says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Something you and I relate to often, isn't it? I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. We have faith, and yet sometimes we have our doubts. We look in other directions. Sometimes we just don't have all that we need. And how do we build that belief? It's so simple. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we hear it proclaimed, as we study it, as we allow to come into our hearts and our minds, a faith can build. A little personal testimony. For many, many years, I would hear what we called the great name preachers. And we'd hear some of the exploits and some of the things that would take place. And I'd hear some of the stories, and I think, oh my goodness, to have faith like that. Just to believe God to do some of those things. And one day as I was reading the scriptures, it was Romans 10:17 that got a hold of me. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I made a determination at that time, a resolution, if you please, that I was going to take in as much of the Word of God as I could. That somehow God, because that's what He said, would build my faith. I don't know where I'm at in that stuff. It's not mine to figure that out. But I do know as I look back, I believe God more than I did before. And it comes by hearing it. Do you ever think about this? I have a privilege you don't have. I did reading on this, outside of this, which was basically messages. Somebody preaching, not through the ear, but through my eyes. That's what most books are. As I sat and pondered those things and kept pondering this scripture, and God began to develop things in the mind, and I wrote out the message that I've given to you tonight. And then I had the privilege to deliver that. This thing has gone through this mind in its entirety several times this day. You've got it once. I need overs and overs. And how we need to be in the Word of God and read it over and over again. And allow it to become reality in our life. If you want to grow in Christ, make much of the Word. Make much of it. Don't become like Christ, then listen to Him. Allow Him to do those things. And you hear me say this, but so often we don't really stop and think about it and do it. It's just the need of our lives. And God can build faith in our lives. And thank God for those that gave me that desire and still do. And we just might believe Him. I don't think I can sit down and write a book like some of them can, but I've seen God do things over and over again. And God's good. Amen. God's good. Let's go to Him tonight. Father, thank You so much for Your goodness to us. Thank You for what You've done in our lives, what You want to do. And Lord, how we so often stop by our unbelief. Lord, help us to grow in our faith. Help us to grow in our realization of You. Lord, not the kind of faith that's historical or just the miraculous we talked about, but God, that which is deep-seated, that which affects our will, God, I pray that You just work in our hearts and that we might be able to hold that shield and that those darts that are being slung by the devil, they might be caught up in that shield. Lord God, we just thank You that we can have victory in Christ. Bless, we pray, in the remainder of our time. As kids come in tonight for their awards, God, that You might work in their hearts. Thank You for those who work with them. We pray for Your great blessings throughout the rest of the week. We think of our ladies' meetings. Dear God, we pray that You might bless them. Lord, encourage them. I know some are hurting deeply. Others are on the mountaintop. But together they can lift up and bring spiritual healing in hearts and lives and blessing in others. Have your miraculous hand on that. Bless this Lord's Day. And dear God, that through it we might bring honor and glory to your name. We pray in Christ's name.